This episode of Bridgerton with Mary and Blake is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. Here I am sitting recording a podcast in my basement with my amazing husband.
And you're welcome, by the
way. I don't have a stitch of makeup on. And that's just because I am working on, you know, letting my skin just be my skin and let it glow and over its glory. And I'm going to tell you something. If you two have been spending a lot more time makeup free, A, it's on trend for 2021.
Really?
But B, well, I think also thanks to the pandemic. Like a lot of people are just, you know, doing either the more natural look or just going all natural. But it doesn't mean you should skimp on skincare. I've got loads of great skincare that are completely customizable to your needs. You can find out more by searching Minute with Mary on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, or you can just go to MinuteWithMary.com.
Desperate times may call for desperate measures, but I would wager many will think her actions beyond the pale. Perhaps she thought it her only option, or perhaps she knows no shame. But I ask you, can the ends ever justify such wretched means?
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to Bridgerton on Netflix. So let's sit back, relax, and let's get ready to spill the tea. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I definitely don't believe that Simon carried Daphne all the way up them stairs, all around those corridors. No chance.
I don't know. Have you seen his muscles?
Yeah, no, he's ripped. He's ripped to the gills. Yeah. I'm not going to say that he's not. However, a big however here. It's a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
I mean, he must be doing Stairmaster every day.
And they're, yeah. Or maybe he just like carried it to the staircase and then she was like, you know what, sweetheart? This is actually a very scary idea.
Yeah. We're not going to break our necks today. Yeah. So why don't you put me
thanks
down
for carrying
a little
me bit. That 10 feet. And now I'm going to make sure that I'm not dead.
I watched him pick her up. I'm like, no way, bro.
Right?
No chance.
Unless the master suite is on the first floor.
I doubt that.
I doubt it too.
And there's no way. And there must be sweating bullets going up them stairs.
I'm telling you, she said no. You can actually carry me once we get to the floor, and then you know we're on solid ground. That is fine. Well, before we get into all things into this episode, we want to remind you that you can actually subscribe to this podcast. You can leave us a rating and review, particularly in Apple Podcasts. It means so very much to us. You can actually find us on all sorts of social media by searching Mary and Blake. You can go to maryandblake.com, and of course, we want to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. Once again, jointhenerdclan.com. If you yet are not a member there,
you're missing out,
that,
number one.
Yeah, you can get a bunch of great things, at bonus podcasts. You can get early access to podcast episodes. You can get swag, all sorts of great things. But it's also a way for you to give back. So if this podcast is bringing you joy right now, for keeping you company, if you're binging Bridgerton like we are and you're enjoying this podcast, please, for as little as $2 a month, head on over to jointhenerdclan.com to continue to make this possible. Oh, hello, hello. Tell me some of these episode deets.
So the title for this episode was Swish, which is an obvious reference to what Lady Featherington asks Marina to do when she's looking at the dress. And you just swish a little bit, you know, just go out there and check it out. And I think there's also a little bit of subtext here, too, for Daphne as well, where she, you know, she's checking things out and seeing if she is with child, if she's not without child, and really how to create this child altogether. Like, there's some real introspection here going on for Daphne. The director was Julianne Robinson. You should know that name. You should know that name because she directed the premiere of Bridgerton, Diamond of the First Water. She didn't do An Affair of Honor. That's a mix
who
up
was
in
the writer,
my notes.
Though?
The writer was Sarah Dollard.
Okay.
Sarah Dollard is a relatively new writer. Her latest credits include, well, at least the highlights of her credits include The White Princess on Stars, which is a which is it's in that vein of that TV family of the White Princess, the Spanish Princess, the White Queen, and it all serves in that universe. She's also written a couple of episodes of Doctor Who in the past few seasons, and of course this episode of Bridgerton, and next season of 2021, she's writing for Discovery of Witches.
Very cool.
So look forward to that. If you're a fan of that property or over there, go check out Discovery of Witches, and you'll see more of Sarah Dollard's work. My love.
Yes.
Cups of tea for this episode, this whopper of an episode.
It was a whopper. I'm giving it a 4.9.
How come?
You will see.
Oh, we're not going to have any teases, no nothing?
No.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. All right. For me, I'm giving it a 4.4.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Which is less than last episode as well.
It is. It is. But it's still very good for me.
Yes,
In context to this show.
Agreed.
And I like it 4.4 because I admit I was worried about where we're going to go after last episode. Last episode felt very much like a season finale to me.
Oh, everyone's happy. We got married. We're going to have sex. And
yeah. And everything is just, it's happening, you know. And
we burn for each other.
Yeah. And really what that was the end of the second act. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what it comes down to. And this is probably the beginning of the third act, the final act, where we have this one final major impediment. But I genuinely left this episode, episode 106, like genuinely awful. I felt genuinely awful after I left this episode. And that is actually a good thing, because it shows we're going somewhere, number one. And number two, it shows that we actually care about these characters. Mm-hmm. So as much as we loved how everything was leaving off in the previous episode, everything seemed happy, everything seemed great, it all gets ruined.
Topsy-turvy.
It all gets ruined in one episode like that.
Yep.
And because of that, I'm giving it a 4.4.
Yep.
So that is my rating. You're okay. GPG, my darling. You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
Oh my good. It's just Lady Whistledown. Blowing up the engagement.
Okay.
Boom. Bye. Bye, Colin. Nope. All done. I just loved it. Lady Whistledown, who in this episode we are kind of led to believe is Penelope.
Sure.
So I just loved it. Way to go.
Okay.
Way to go.
All right.
My bad was the final sex scene, which we will get into.
Yes.
You know, like you said, leaving us all feeling pretty awful. And the great was the rest of the honeymoon.
Okay.
All the sex.
Yes. So much sex happening.
Yes. I mean, between just like doing it on the desk with the coins flying everywhere. Oh, like I am never going to see the bell song, like, just bell, like in the library.
On the ladder.
On the ladder. And she's like, little town, like where she's just like flying across and.
Ain't gonna be the same ever again.
Nope.
And that too. Is a good thing, Marvin.
Oh, no, exactly. Yep. Like, well done. And like you said, having just the picnic outside, swans, bum, down. So I'm down for the honeymoon.
Yep. For me, the good is, like you, Mary, for your great, it's all the lovemaking in this episode. I really, really quite liked it. And I liked it a lot because it was unique and it wasn't just... there, you know, I mean, we're talking, we're banging in front of swans.
Yep.
We're doing it on a library ladder.
Yes.
We're doing it on a desk. We're doing it in some, like,
everywhere and anywhere.
And like some,
oh my god, in like a tomb.
And like, well, it, I don't think it was a tomb. I think it was like a, I don't know what it was.
I think that's dead people.
I don't think that was dead people. If that's dead people, that's some serious subtext there. I mean, the fact that they're just disrespecting all them dead people and he's blowing things all over dead people, like, whoa, you know, and
I don't know
the lack of respect for his ancestry, like that is some big time stuff if that's
what
a tomb.
Do you think that building was, if not dead people?
I don't know. A shed. I don't know. So. It's where they keep the lawnmower.
No, there were stairs.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just a pavilion where they go and they take in the surroundings.
You'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I really like it. And, you know, where it was just a unique set of circumstances in the rain and the music and
Sound it's, of Music.
And it's multiple times. I mean, we have our first lovemaking session in the beginning. We have the middle lovemaking section in the middle. And then the final lovemaking session, which is really has nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. But it shows you not only are they lovemaking, they're passionate, but their intimacy grows and their intimacy evolves. And evolves to a point of where it's not great.
Correct.
And there's story there. It's not just lovemaking for the sake of it. It is it reminded me of the wedding in Outlander. You know, when they showed the number of times that Claire and Jamie, hashtag spoilers, get it on. And yes, they do get married. It showed each time. Anna Forrester, the director of that episode, was very specific about how she shot those episodes, about those scenes, and the sequence in which they happened. So it reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. In Outlander, it evolves to a different thing.
Yes.
But in Bridgerton, it evolved, that lovemaking story evolves into something else, or devolves into something else. The bad for me, though...
What?
This show needs to stay away from green screen.
When did they use green screen?
When Simon and Daphne were greeting Mrs. Coulson.
Okay.
It looked like a scene out of PlayStation 2.
I didn't even notice at all.
All right, fair enough. I'm not gonna say that, you know, you're right or you're wrong, or I'm right or wrong. I'm just saying when I watched it, I felt like I was watching like a mid 2000s video game.
All right.
Okay. But the great for me, and the great is a tie. The first one is Simon at the end. When what happens, and he starts stuttering again, it shows you how affecting that is for his character. And you know, it's not something that you want to bring out too much. It's not something that you want to use too often. Mm-hmm. You use it in these very special circumstances, and it happened earlier in this season, of course, regarding Daphne with Lady Danbury, and then it happens again regarding Daphne, but for much different reasons.
Yes.
So I really like that. I like how they're utilizing it and what that means to that character. But the other one that I really quite like is the crying scene with Penelope and Eloise. It's a genuine moment.
Yes.
It is a real thing. And I've been there. I've done that. When I've seen you or I've talked to you on the phone, I can think of one instance in particular where you answer the phone and I just started crying that because you're just overwhelmed with emotion. It's real. Mm-hmm. And it's an actual, real, tangible thing for our characters to in their relationship. It's a good development for them and what that means. So that is my GBG. And now it's time for the music.
Yay!
It's time for the music. There were two songs that were really used in this episode. I mean, outside of the actual score itself. The first one is a song by, I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm not sure if it is
if you're supposed to spell it.
If it's J-P-O-L-N-D or Japland, I have no idea.
Same.
But it is the song, it's called The End. And this is the song right here. And it's actually the original version of that. And what happens is this song gets played while...
In the final sex scene.
In the final sex scene. And it's not a happy song. It's this one.
So from the beginning, you know, as he's walking her down the hall, they're undressing each other.
Yes. So it is sexy. You know, there's some steam here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's titled The End. So is this the end of their marriage? Is this the end of their relationship? I mean, you could still be married and not have a real relationship.
Oh, so you're looking deep into the title of this song.
Sure.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay. And like you said, this was the original version that they decided not to rewrite it, rescore it.
Yep.
Yep.
This is what they used.
And then what is the next song of notes?
I just like this.
I know.
You know, there's almost like a harpsichord feel to this too. It pops in every once in a while. All right. So that is that. And then the next one is...
And if anybody knows how we're supposed to pronounce the artist,
I know.
J-P-O-L-N-D or J-Pond.
I have no idea. The next one comes from by way of Taylor Swift.
Yes.
This is the song that plays during their many lovemaking scenes between Simon and Daphne. And it is the song Wildest Dreams. And it is thus.
Thank you.
This is also another really good cover, too. I really like this.
Agreed.
I found myself one where I was doing the notes today, listening to this.
Yeah.
And then, I'm a big T-Swift guy. I'm all in on the T-Swift.
Well, especially because she has a vacation home in Rhode Island.
Well, yeah, that
helps.
That doesn't hurt. So I was listening to this, and then I was like, you know what? I gotta go find the original T-Swift.
Oh,
so I was in my office, and the girls that work with me are like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't you dare.
Don't dare.
Besmirch the good name of T-Swift. So this is the song.
It's fantastic.
And I was watching the video of this song, too. Mm-hmm. Yes, video still exists. They're still a thing. It's Taylor Swift as she's an actress and she's filming a movie with some guy that she's like in love with.
Okay.
But she doesn't want anybody to know.
Cute.
You know, so it's you know, this is more of a in line with what we were watching.
Yeah.
You know, for that. So
nice.
So that is that. That All is right. Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift.
Well, thanks for getting to the music for us.
You're welcome. So as remade by Bridgerton.
So okay. This episode packed a punch, right? And it
yes.
caused a lot of controversy over the interwebs, over social media. And I'll be real with you. We can either acknowledge the elephant in the room and talk about the last sex scene and what happened between Daphne and Simon right now, or we can have a positive podcast and talk about all the other things and then end with Daphne and Simon. And part of me, yeah?
No, go ahead.
Part of me wants to get the happy things done.
I was just going to say, let's get it out of the way.
Okay.
Let's get it out of the way. And I only say that here because what happens at the end is full circle with the rest of the episode. Meaning, you know, when Mary and Blake Media, what we try to do is you try to find the theme. What is the theme? And as most of you know, theme is a big thing when you're writing television or writing books or you're writing movies. What is the purpose? What is the point? What are we doing here? And theme, a big Mary and Blake commandment, is it cannot just be love. It can't be, oh, brotherhood. It has to be a question. What is the question we are asking? What are we trying to get down to the bottom of?
Okay.
And the question, I think, is asked right in at the end of this episode, what we played at the beginning of our podcast. Do the means justify the end?
Do the ends justify the means?
Well, whatever. You know, same thing.
Means whatever it is. Yeah. Look, we don't even know the theme.
Does the ends justify the means?
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Is it okay to do what Daphne did the way that she did it? Is it okay that Marina is doing what she did to get to the point that she's getting to? Mm-hmm. Is that point of getting married, is that important enough to justify how she did it? And I think this even travels a little bit further, too, to what we will eventually talk about is Eloise and Penelope.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens there, and we don't know what it is, but something happens, and does the end justify what they do or what one of them does?
Mm-hmm.
That being, I think, you know, blabbing about what happened. So it comes full circle, and that's kind of why I think we should just address it off the top.
Okay.
And then get into the rest of the episode.
Okay.
So your feeling on it, just so we can get your thoughts on this out and done and we can move on.
And I will 100% come out here and say, like, this is such a lovely show. It's been a wonderful escape, especially that we're watching it in the midst of the dark days of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that the topic, which we may talk about for a little while, may be difficult for some, kind of like a little trigger warning right here,
mm-hmm.
Because it's come into question, did Daphne rape her husband, Simon, and did the ends of her doing that to kind of find the truth about what's going on, were they worth it? Are they kind of equal because Simon was all along lying in Daphne's eyes, you know. So, yeah, as I said, if you just do a little Google search, everyone and their mom is writing about this in a blog, on social media, Instagram, Twitter. There are people who will say, you know, that it was not rape, that, you know, she was lied to by her husband. and that they were having consensual sex until the very end, that he could have pushed her off, that he could have been more forcefully saying no, you know, that it wasn't an assault on Simon. Mm-hmm. And I guess in the book, it's done even worse on Simon, that yeah. Simon is drunk, he's kind of out of it, and it's like a lot clearer. There's not this whole like consensual beginning bit. So I did talk about this briefly in our Facebook group. If you're not in our Facebook community, we do recommend you do that. You can search
just Mary and Blake. Mary and Blake Facebook
request
group.
To join. But someone had posed this question, like, you know, what does everyone think about it? And I opened up. So I've talked a little bit before about how I am a survivor of sexual assault. I haven't gone into big details, but what I will tell you is my assault was similar to this in Simon's perspective, where the beginning an act was started, everything was fine. I changed my mind halfway through the act and let the person know, and things did not stop. And it messed me up a lot. It messed me up a lot because you think like, oh, rape is someone you don't know, or maybe it's someone on a first date, or maybe it's from the get-go, like, no, 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 I don't want it. So I didn't feel valid in having the emotional scarring and emotional issues that I was having. I was having a lot of nightmares. I was feeling like I wasn't in control of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw this happen to Simon, you know, you get to see his face and you hear a stutter at the end. I know that here in 2021, we as a society take consensual sex to be very important.
Sure.
That had something like this happened now, we would see it as possible sexual assault on a husband. You know, there's now the belief that you can rape your partner. You know, sure. Just because you're married doesn't mean you can just have sex with them whenever you want. Obviously, back in the olden times, or even back when this fictional show was taking place, husbands frequently raped their wives. We uh-huh. don't necessarily hear about it in the other way, but the thing that is interesting, you know, and I talked about this even with Outlander, showing men get raped isn't something that TV shows really do.
Yeah, there's a real role reversal.
And I don't want to necessarily use the word rape a lot because it is a trigger word. So, but know that me, Mary Larson, that is how I see it in this.
Sure.
You know, and it's completely okay if you don't, mm-hmm. in the sense that that word is too strong or whatever. But to me, that's what it means. And it's my truth because also, like, I went through something similar to that. I'm going to be interested to see how the show handles Simon's emotional aftershocks from this. Yes, he was kind of holding back truth from Daphne. I don't think that it meant that they should have done this, but when you step back and you take things through the lens of this time period, I don't think it would have been seen that way sure. during this time period.
Yep.
And I think both people had been doing wrong. And what I hope is that they can recover from this. One thing that I will say is that when an assault happens of this style, I don't think that it means that a relationship needs to be ended always. I think that there can be a lot of emotional scarring. There can be a lot of broken trust.
Yeah.
And that I do think Simon and Daphne can recover from this. So watching this, am I going to always think from here on out, as a survivor myself, as someone who, you know, was a victim of sexual assault in a similar kind of way, am I going to sit here saying, I will never love Daphne as a character ever again? I don't know, but I won't definitely say yes, if that makes sense. She's not like the ultimate villain in my eyes right now,
right.
But I do feel for Simon. And I also think that it's tough because, as I said, we're not necessarily attuned to the fact that men can be sexually assaulted, particularly mm-hmm. by women.
Yep.
I also think that it's of note that a black man was sexually assaulted by a white woman.
Sure.
So I just think that it's things that kind of like need to be noted as I said, I'm not holding it against the show.
It's
I'm not holding
it
against Daphne. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I would ask those of you who are having these big conversations online to be cautious with how strongly you may feel that it is not an assault, how strongly you feel that Daphne was in the right, because you don't necessarily know if there's someone reading that comment who, like me, has been in Simon's shoes in one way or another.
Yeah. I from my perspective, I'm not here to define whether or not it was rape or it was assault. Really, that is, it's a subjective thing. There's no rubric to...
I mean... There is now. There is now.
Yeah, I guess my
ultimate... You can change your consent during the act.
I know. I guess my ultimate... I'm trying to say that I'm not here to tell you that it is or it isn't. That's not my goal here. I think there's a lot of gray. There's a lot of gray here because, you know, if you wanted to make the argument that it wasn't, you know, the opposing view would be these are two adults who started off consensually, and if he really didn't want to keep going, he could have stopped. He could have pushed her off.
Maybe.
And, I mean, he could have.
But if this happened nowadays, probably, like, it wouldn't be a convicted situation, but it would still be, like, a crime.
And ultimately, regardless of whether or not we think it, and look, again, I'm not here to define it. Ultimately, I'm here to judge what happens on television, and that's our job. You're right. And for television, both parties are wrong.
Yes.
And if you wanted to make the argument, both parties are right at the same time. Mm. Meaning. Simon was telling her, listen, I told you I couldn't give you kids. And she said, no, there's a difference. Cannot and will not are two totally different conversations. They're two totally different. Two totally different things.
Yes.
And that's what I mean when I say she was right, because you're not up front. You're not being up front.
Oh, yeah. She's right in the fact that she has these feelings of absolute betrayal.
Yes.
And that her husband was hiding things from her.
Yes.
And, you know, her whole thing that she says, you know, you knew that this is all I ever wanted.
Yep.
And yet you did keep it from me. And then you have the opposite. You have Simon saying, I've told you from the get-go.
Yeah.
I couldn't have kids. Yeah, I can't, because it's just not... I can't. It's not in the cards for me.
Right.
I was willing to die because I feel this strongly.
Right.
And then you told me, you were the one that told me, Daphne, that whatever.
It's okay.
I'll skip the kids as long as I can have you.
And it's important that they address that in the middle of the episode.
Yes, as they're walking back.
As they're walking
fair.
Back. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I'm so happy that you're okay with being just us.
Yes.
Now, we as viewers know that that's just not right. And we know that she wants kids. We know because we've been in her perspective, right? We've seen it. And even though she says one thing to Simon, she really wants another thing. And it's funny because when she first sees the nursery, you can see that she is like evolving. You know, she's sad. You can see it in Daphne's eyes. Man, I really wish we could have kids here, you know. And then on the other perspective, the second time that she sees the nursery, you can almost see that she's resigned.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, okay, she literally shuts the door
on
that part of her life, right? It's a literal and figurative act.
Mm-hmm.
So that betrayal that she feels, again, do the ends justify the means? My gut tells me no. And I think the episode and the show is telling you throughout this episode, they don't justify the they don't justify the means.
Well, and what's tough is, you know, Simon knows that Daphne has very little knowledge about sex.
Yes.
How little? Well, we know it's like nothing.
Right. And you know what the thing is, too, is that he should know that, too, because he knows that she didn't even know that she could touch herself.
Yeah.
She, it's a lame excuse.
And there she is. She's asking, oh, does it hurt? You know, when he's finishing outside of her or whatever. And yeah, she doesn't really put two and two together. So it's, and this is why I'm saying I'm not going to necessarily hold against Daphne forever. I don't think it was right.
Right.
And as someone who does have a trauma, it was hard for me to like even be like, okay, now I got a podcast about this.
Yeah.
The rest of the episode was beautiful, and I do think that they can recover. What I am hoping, and I'm assuming and hoping that these two characters have a lot of deep conversations.
So many co-pays. Okay? They need all the co-pays.
Seriously. They have a lot of healing that they need to go through. They need to work on their communication skills, and they need to figure out, all right, are we having babies or are we not having babies? And if we're not having babies, are you going to be okay having sex, you know?
Yeah, without the purpose of procreation.
Yes.
So yeah, there again, I just have to say this. There's a lot of gray in this episode. And I think because there is so much gray, the show threaded the needle, I think, the best that it could. Given the source material, again, I don't know the source material other than what you have said, Mary, which is it was worse in the book in terms of Daphne's intent.
Yes.
She still has intent, but the way that it's portrayed, it shows that both parties are wrong.
I mean,
and both parties are right.
It still is portrayed in the sense that like she is a woman on a mission
and she takes advantage of him.
Yes.
But they're not making her out to be the clear villain, in my opinion. And they're not making him out to be the clear villain or the clear victim. It's there's a lot there to unpick and go for if you want to have those conversations. So I think we could table discussion for the rest of the episode.
We can put that up on a high shelf in that bookshelf.
Yeah, and just allow that to be and know that we have gone with it. We've talked about it. I think there are arguments to be made on either side. And whatever way that you want to believe, that's cool with me. But, you know, just know that it is what it is. Fair enough?
I would be careful. I would be careful. Yes, people can believe whatever they want to believe about things. What I'm saying is that the interwebs and, you know, different chat groups.
It's a dark place.
It is. And I'm just saying, please be cautious with the fact that this is something that could really, be difficult for people.
Yeah. So the lovemaking, though, in terms of this episode, is actually quite interesting. Again, we talked about the story of it all, but they actually had an intimacy coach. There's a real thing. It's called an intimacy coach. And that woman's name, her name is Lizzie Talbot. And she had to teach them how to be intimate on screen and do it in a meaningful way. And I have to say, the direction of each lovemaking scene was really good.
Agreed.
It was really good. And Julianne Robinson deserves all of the credit because when the sex happens, it's not in your face. Like, there are points where it's a lot, right? Especially when you just see the Duke of Hastings bare ass out on the screen, grass.
So down.
It was great. But what I'm getting at is
there's no balls.
No balls. And there's no male frontal nudity. And there's not.
But you're right. Like, it is directed so well. I've watched that scene a few times, guys. Yeah. And I'm like, how can he maneuver and like kind of flop around perfectly?
And well, he's probably wearing a modesty patch.
How far up? Is it like a G-string modesty patch? Like, how far up the crack?
I don't know how it's applied. I really don't know.
And how do people have sex? Like, do they just put like a little wee towel in between their privates?
That's what the modesty patch is for. That's what it's there for.
Yeah, but how much ground does it cover?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you were to go to a waxing place.
Uh-huh. How far in do you need to go?
Are they saying the granny panties?
Or are we doing Brazilian?
Yeah.
They're probably doing Brazilian. When you're getting waxed for the modesty patch. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Anyway, you're saying the directing of the love scenes.
And I like it because the sex and the sexual aspect of the show when it comes to what? Yep.
The sex.
When it comes to Daphne.
Yes.
It's been about her awakening. It's been about her... what?
It's like the Force Awakens.
Oh my God.
It is.
It's been about her experience with sexual awakening.
Well, and then you have the complete opposite of Simon to Daphne, continually asking her, do you like this?
Right.
What do you want me to do? Like,
sure. So it's my ultimate point is, Mary, especially in light of what you just said, the direction of each scene when it comes to the sexual act, it's really focused. If you go back on, it's really focused on Daphne the entire time. Or yes. For most of it, it's on her. It's on the
her pleasure, on
the
O face. Yes.
You know, it's especially when she's on the ladder. You know, it's focused just on her.
I did love that ladder scene because when they begin, you know, she's asking like, "Oh, what will the help think?"
Right.
And then later on, when she's on the ladder, yeah. Simon is the one that says, "What do the help think?" And she's like, "Whatever,
whatever."
Man.
So what? And it's great too because the help is listening in on this, which was another. You know, it's just an endearing scene.
Agreed.
You know, so the direction in this episode was really, really fantastic. So I, even though there is some ugliness at the end, what comes out of it, though, in the beginning portions of this episode is really beautifully shot.
The Duke and Duchess, while they're not having some rumpy pumpy time,
sure.
They get to go out into Little Town. It's a quiet village every day, pretty much like the one before, except when it's the May Day.
Yes.
And, you know, they got this fair. At least it looked like May Day because they had the May Day poll. Mm-hmm. They got this fair going on. They got the three little pigs, huff and puff and blow your house down. But don't worry. Mm-hmm. Because the three little pigs are saved.
Yeah, but that there is cause to worry because even though the three little pigs are saved, that means nobody gets the pork.
Nobody gets money.
Contract.
Please enter old guy with big hat who we can't understand and needs subtitles. That guy's hat, no joke, was like a snowman hat. I was looking at it and I was like, that's the kind of hat I want to put on Frosty.
Absolutely.
And he comes in here, he's like, excuse me, sir.
Wow. Okay, let's rewind and subtitle.
That's literally what I did to Blake. I was like, I need to pause this because that guy, I think, just said a sentence. I don't even know what he said. And it looks like he's going to be here for a little while. So I had to put on the subtitles. And he ends up saying, we're all poor.
Yeah.
You guys are just chilling. I love this guy. I wonder if he had a few drams.
Oh, definitely did.
And if his friends were like, somebody's got to say something to the dude.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I'll do it. I've got my confidence hat. I'll do it.
This is my power hat.
And they're like, Marty, you've had a few drams, buddy. We can't even understand you. We know you. It's fine.
Fine. Don't you worry about what I
say.
Totally
know what I say.
You're gonna get the point. I'll tell you that.
And they did. They did.
It's like Sully from Southie going up to somebody being like, hey, you know, what are you doing? The snow plows. It sucks. I'm shoveling out my
So what do they do to
space.
Help the people? Obviously, the Duke is working on all the finances and everything.
Yeah.
We see that scene later with Daphne in the white with the umbrella, and it's the guy in the background again. I did not turn on the subtitles for him a second time, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah, no, what I think you can imply is that they bought all the stuff from him. And then later on, before the sex scene at dinner, we see the pig, the roast.
That's a baby pig.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, there's some...
They're just going to pig every day.
There's some symbolism there. You know, it's a youth, a baby pig being killed and slaughtered and eaten for dinner. And if you wanted to say something along the lines of Daphne's youth...
Innocence
is gone now because of her decision. I think there is some stuff you can mine there. If you squinted at it, you could probably mine it. What you can infer from that, from the pig showing up, is that she does pick somebody. And she does say, okay, you win, you get the contract. Or maybe all of them get the contract.
I'm literally going to have sausage, bacon, and just straight up pig every day.
Why not? I'm not going to get... I won't get sick of bacon. Who gets sick of bacon?
The other white meat.
I think there's a lot do here, especially with how Daphne sees Simon's mother and how she relates to Mrs. Coulson.
Mrs. Coulson.
You know, Daphne is under a lot of pressure here. You know, Simon's mother could not bear a child until all of a sudden she did, and then she died. And I think Daphne feels that pressure, especially when Mrs. Coulson says, yeah, she was a great duchess. In fact, she was perfect. She was a perfect duchess.
And then she gives that side eye.
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Coulson should be nicknamed Mrs. Cold Shoulder.
Yeah.
Goodness.
This episode gave me a lot of Downton Abbey feels.
Same.
A lot.
Same.
And not in the superficial way, but in the way that, like, when Mrs. Coulson walks out and Daphne is gathering all the lavender or whatever for the baskets, she's like, why didn't you tell me to do this? Yes. I would have done it perfectly. And I think the show is trying to give you a perspective of, well, maybe that's not right. Maybe Mrs. Coulson is overstepping. Daphne just wants to do it. She just wants to do it for herself. The same way that she says, no, I'll move the plate and the chair. I'll do all of that. Don't you worry about it. But a lesson that I learned from Mr. Mosley.
Mr. Mosley on Downton Abbey.
Was these people, this is their job.
Yes.
And they take great pride in doing what they're supposed to do. It is their calling. This is what I do. I serve. That is somewhat foreign to us, I think, as Americans. And, you know, unless you're paid pretty heavily to do what you're supposed to do. But it's like, no, I got it. I'll take care of it. We are not necessarily accustomed to even the concept of people coming and serving and, you know, picking lavender or doing all these things and moving your plates for you. It's just in our personal lives. When you go out to dinner, it's one thing, you know, or, you know, you go on a cruise, it's another thing. But, you know, in your regular everyday life, that don't happen.
No.
So, but I learned that lesson from Downton Abbey, and I remember when I heard it, I said, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Mrs. Coulson is wrong here. What do you think?
I don't think she's wrong. I just think that she's rather cold and not necessarily as endearing to Daphne. But hopefully Daphne's tea session with her and that little hand touch, hopefully she continues to warm up and lets Daphne know, listen, we do want to do these things. And not only do we want to do them, but when you go out and you have an improper basket, it reflects poorly, possibly, upon all of the help here.
Yeah.
That we uphold this name of Clivesdale or whatever. So
Cliveden. Not Clydesdale. That's a horse.
I'll get there one day, guys.
And the fact of the matter is that, you know, Daphne does relate to her, you know, the lady with that pregnant with the baby and the kid, and the kid comes running up to her and everything.
Dick Grace.
And the lady says, oh, man, you know, like, you did mess up a little bit.
Yeah.
You did.
Three little pigs.
You should.
They did not go wee 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 all the way, huh?
Definitely not.
They went wah wah wah. This is. So we go up from one fair to another outdoor event with all of the Featherington people and all of the Bridgerton people and just all these people. They're just out in some garden,
just walking around.
Just that's what we're doing. We're just all here. It was kind of weird. It was like, why is everyone here? What is the purpose of this?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe it's the day after brunch, you know, when the bride and groom are off and everybody's still in town, but everyone already lives there. And Cullen announces to everybody, guess what? I am marrying Marina.
Yep. Not great, Bob.
Lady Bridgerton.
Not great, Bob.
When Antony comes over and he's like, Mom! What's going on? She's like, shut your face.
Yeah.
People are looking. Just slap on that smile like I taught you. We're going to deal with this later. And I loved how she spoke with Colin, how she, you know, was a respectful mother.
Yeah, she lets him know.
Yeah, that this was still a shock. Antony, of course, gets after him. Oh, maybe it's because you're horny. Yeah. I didn't take you to the brothels. You know, just red flags right and left. And then, of course, the meat of the matter. When Penelope has some conversations with Marina.
Yeah, the funny thing is the show at the beginning, Marina actually has a pretty good little arc so far.
Agreed.
As much as I still think that she's somewhat of a nothing character, and I still don't think that she's...
Oh, this episode, she took a turn.
She definitely took a turn, and she...
I'm a woman.
She begins this season a little girl who's overwhelmed in this house, who's being just... basically sold like cattle.
Yes.
And thrust onto the world pregnant, not knowing any of the the customs and traditions, and even going to that that town on the other side of town where she's like, all I see is good, hard working people here who care about their kids. She goes from that to conspiring with Lady Featherington and really becoming Lady Featherington in many ways.
Yep.
It's a pretty good little arc.
I mean, you also get her talking to the lady in French.
Yes. See, I told you. I told you that she had the French accent when it benefited her. And then when she wasn't around, she was with Sienna, straight up British accent. And not even like a high born it's like a low born accent.
Yes.
You know, it's like you're down in the dumps in Liverpool somewhere.
Hey,
you know,
careful.
Well, it's like saying you're down in the dumps in Boston. You know, it's, you know, that's what it sounded like. And I love how Marina all of a sudden just comes up with this and calls her out. And again, showing shades of Lady Featherington here.
Yeah, it's like, no, I need a dress that's going to conceal my bump when I swish.
Yes.
I want a swish-proof dress. And I'm going to get it. Wee, wee, wee. All right, yes. Here we go. Let's
go.
Do this.
The pigs are going wee, wee, wee.
No, I meant wee, wee because it's French.
I know.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God, look at that. Look at that.
Look at you.
And then we get Penelope during that awkward dinner with the Bridgertons and the Featheringtons. And Penelope finally gets to talk to Colin while her sisters are putting on the most amazing performance ever.
Yep.
You actually think that was a good performance, Blake?
No, I was saying that she...
That's like what it sounds like when Blake sings.
It does sound like that. That's why that's a Mary and Blake commandment too. Blake is not allowed to sing.
Oh gosh, she gets out there and you wonder, like I wondered, I was like, is she just going to tell him? Is she going to straight up say she's pregnant?
That's what I thought was going to happen.
She'd be preggers. And instead she takes a slightly higher road. Marina's in love. I've seen their letters. And Colin... Bless little Colin's heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what?
He's like, it's all right. I've cared about people before too. That's old news, girl. We're getting married. But thank you, Penelope. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being such a good friend. And then Marina comes out and she sees what Penelope was just about to do. Mm-hmm. And she cries and she lays it on thick. We're getting married right now. And they think of some magical place in Scotland.
Yeah. it's... Gretna Green or something like that?
Something like that.
Gretna Green? I can't remember.
Is it basically Vegas?
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, it's Vegas.
Yeah, we'll go to Vegas and it'll be great.
And we'll get married.
It's perfect.
Where's Elvis?
So they're all ready to go and Penelope somehow finds the practice sheet.
Yeah, at the in her mother's room and then she brings it to
Marina's room and finds
all the letters. And like it's this one last desperate attempt to try to convince her. Oh my God, guess what happened? My mother did this to you. You should be pissed.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing?
Your love is still alive.
But Marina also has a point. Okay, sure. Yeah, it was a fake. Okay, sure. But the guy still hasn't responded to me. Still hasn't said nothing. So I gotta
I'm
do
still
what's
pregnant and getting bigger every day.
Yeah, right.
And that's Colin.
And that's why I'm saying she's turning into Lady Featherington here a little bit because she knows that if she doesn't do it, she is going to end up like those people that she saw. And she knows that ain't right.
And then we have the conversation between her and Penelope where she flat out was like, you're in love with Colin, aren't you? Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about. This is why you care so much about my choosing him. This is why you care so much about protecting him. And the truth of the matter is, Penelope, that Colin sees you the same way he sees his little sister Eloise. Pretty much the same way he sees his little baby sister Hyacinth. Whereas I... And then you can need like the Jessica Rabbit music, you know, why don't you do right? I'm a woman, baby.
Yeah.
And you be nothing.
Yeah.
So since I'm a woman, women have to do tough things. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Marina comes from the clouds and gives the people's elbow to Penelope.
Seriously.
In the worst way.
Oh,
and it's Penelope. So bad that Penelope just doesn't do anything. You have to just quit life at that point. You just have to quit and just
move on.
She
goes and finds her bestie.
Yeah.
They go get some Ben and Jerry's. And then Eloise and Penelope have this big sesh. And they're like, how do we get this situation?
Do we get back?
Yeah. Let's get Colin back.
Yeah. There is that. That's a thing. And I love how this ending sequence was edited. all of the lies, all of the misgivings and the misdoings and all the mis everythings, the misappropriation, like all it, the bill comes and someone's got to pay.
Yes.
And for all of our characters, the bill comes and they got to pay. And it's Lady Featherington. It is Colin now. It is Penelope, that she's got to pay the bill a little bit here, mm-hmm. too. It is Marina that's got to pay the bill. Everybody's got to pay the bill.
Yes.
Someone's sitting there. It's like in Home Alone when the pizza guy's sitting there waiting to get paid. He's like, are you going to pay me? No. Okay. You going to pay me? No. And, you know, Uncle Bob is like, no, this is my brother's house. He'll pay you. Yeah. $149? Yeah. He'll take care of it.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
One of the worst characters ever created. He's awful.
Agreed.
Anyway, yeah, so that's that. And anything you want to say about this episode?
No.
You ready for some Lady Whistledown power rankings?
Yes, it's going to be a little difficult, but yes.
Let's do it.
So, Blake, I would like you to take this away, as I feel like our Whistledown pool has greatly diminished.
Yeah, it's now become a death pool, really, what it comes down to. Listen, in my perspective, there are two possibilities now. Only two.
Okay.
Eloise and Penelope.
You
gotta throw everybody else out.
Unless Penelope goes to Eloise crying, and Eloise says, I figured it out today. I know who it is.
Yeah, and the queen has given
Eloise
this charge of finding out who Whistledown is.
So maybe Eloise just figured it out, and she's like, I'm going to take you to my new best friend, Lady Whistledown. Maybe there's...
Fair.
Right? Like, I can solve this problem.
Then it definitely ain't Benedict.
Oh, no.
Definitely not Benedict, then. No. Because I think they would have showed that, number one. And if Eloise knew it was Benedict, they would have to show that.
It has to be Penelope.
Or it has to be Eloise.
Yeah.
It has to be one of the, or it's someone off screen. But not Benedict. Like it still could be the queen's servant.
That holds the dog.
It could be.
Okay.
Because now, since Eloise has a direct connection to the queen,
she could get the printing done.
She could go to the guy and she could talk to him about it. Whew.
Our money's on Penelope.
Yeah, my chips are all in on Penelope now. The dark horse is now the favorite. And that's what I'm going with. Fair?
Fair.
All right. That is that. All right, you ready for some scribbling predictions?
Yes, I am.
Do I have one? I don't think I wrote one today.
I don't really have one. I was all kerfuffle after this episode, so I don't have any predictions.
Yeah. Let's see if I can think of one on the fly here. This is like intense Mary and Blake media stuff.
Okay.
Right here. This is like on the fly thing. Hold on, let me delay a little bit here.
No, you can't. There you go.
I gotta buy myself a couple of seconds.
Ready, set, go.
Okay.
How about something about Lady Whistledown?
Well, I already said that it's Penelope.
No, you know what, honey? You know what? It's okay. We'll skip this week.
I gotta have one. You know what? Marina? Marina does some bad stuff, dude. I wonder if she tries to... leave, number one. Or, number two, if she tries to hurt herself.
You know what? Okay, speaking totally different, because that's really dark, Blake.
Yes, it is.
You know how guys in the last episode we were talking about how Penelope, she's going to be kind of like Sweeney Todd?
Yes.
Oh, when Penelope was like tiptoeing around the house barefoot.
Yeah.
I started to sing it to Blake. I was like, here she goes. She go crazy.
Yeah, so.
She didn't do anything naughty. All right. The end of scribbling predictions.
Yes, I'll go with that.
Let's close out the show.
Yes, we will do that.
Thank you.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm trying to find the thing that I want here.
Okay.
Sorry, you're going to have to vamp for me for 5 more seconds.
Oh, Blake, I love you so very much.
Yes, you do.
I know.
Do you burn for me?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah, you do.
Oh.
Oh, here we go.
You're going to need to fast forward a wee bit.
Oh, no, not Indiana Jones.
Okay, Blake, you failed.
Oh my God, no.
Okay, just turn it all off. Just turn it all off.
No, I'm intent. Note,
just play a regular closing song, my love.
This is Sweeney Todd.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? This ain't working.
No, Blake.
It's not where I thought it would. Okay. I thought it would work.
You don't know the soundtrack as well as you think you do.
No,
huh?
I don't. I wanted the one where Johnny Depp is singing. He's talking about the town and the shit and the whole thing.
Okay, I know, honey.
All right, sorry. Here we go. We'll go back to playing our real music.
Let's go back to this actually beautiful song right now to close out the show. Thank you all so much for sticking with us through this episode. You know, we laughed, we cried. It's an awkward topic to bring up, and we appreciate your listening, even if you disagree with us greatly. Know that we appreciate you as listeners. We appreciate you as part of members of our community. And once again, become a part of our community. Go onto Facebook, search Mary and Blake. We've got a great group of people there who love to talk about all the different podcasts that we talk about. And they are. They're a respectful, wonderful bunch of peeps.
Yeah, absolutely. And go to the jointhenerdclan.com to partake in that wonderful community. There's so much happening over there. And if, again, like we said last episode, if you want to support this small independent company of Mary and Blake Media, that's the best way to do it. And go out there and check it out, jointhenerdclan.com, and get all of the great benefits that come along with that community. So,
as for now, ladies and gents, I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Now go out there and get some more tea.
There was a suggestion, by the way, from one of our listeners that it should be brew more tea.
I like that better.
You want to do that?
Yeah. It's just like spilling the tea in the beginning. I feel a little weird since Simon spills a semen.
Yeah, but that has nothing to... That has
I know.
It's spilling the
Let's
tea.
Let's brew some more tea.
Tea.
I like that a lot more.
Yeah, well, go out there
and brew some more tea.
I like it. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.